Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Pastor Ed Young launches his latest series of talks titled Wrestling in today's message, diving into the universal struggle we encounter. Throughout this series, we'll uncover the truth that our triumph hinges not on our own abilities, but on the capability of God. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called Battle of Brothers. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Sting is in the house! We're talking the Stinger, Sting.
Thank you so much for being here, my man.
My pleasure to be here with a good-looking group of people.
I'm telling you. Sting, I've got to ask you, how did a guy like you get into professional wrestling? Because that's a question I'm sure people wonder all the time.
Well, I co-owned a Gold's Gym in Southern California for a few years, and a little Jewish guy came in one day with three big dudes, and they were trying to break into pro wrestling and trying to recruit a fourth guy. And so they put a little sign up on the wall, and it took a few weeks, or a month, maybe even two. No bites, and finally the guy says, what about you? Would you consider doing this? And they talked me into going to the sports arena in Los Angeles where Hulk Hogan, Big John Studd, Andre the Giant, the British Bulldogs, yes, the Iron Sheik, and all these big names. And to coin the 80s phrase, it was pandemonium. And I said, you know what? I think I want to give this a try.
Oh, man. And the process of, I know you were in great shape already, bodybuilding, athletic, whatever, but the process of learning how to wrestle, was that kind of difficult?
Oh, going through the wrestling camp, it was good because a guy named Red Bastien, who's no longer with us, but he really taught us the ropes without, you know, stretching us. He taught us the moves, how to do the moves, and he tried to teach us psychology. And then, you know, the best experience you get, though, is really on the job. And so I started in Thanksgiving Day 1985. I left California, and I went to Nashville, Tennessee, and we were on the road 300-plus days a year. That is the way to learn the trade for sure.
Wow, that's amazing, because people have no idea, Sting, I know, of the work that goes behind it. And the development of your character just kind of evolved. Is that how that happened?
Yeah, I mean, you take a little bit from this personality and a little bit from that guy over there and a little bit, you know, I was in Japan and there was a guy named Ricky Choshu who had a finishing hold and it was a leg lock, and so I copied it. Uh-huh. and I called it the Scorpion Death Lock, and so that was a finishing move of mine. But you just take a little bit, you know, and you try to create your own brand, your own personality. And when I first started, everybody had personalities, so it was important to have that at the time.
Well, Sting, what was it like being at the top of the game? Because you, obviously, one of the most popular wrestlers of all time. You had the money, you had the fame, the acclaim, pleasure, the whole deal. I mean, what is that like? Because, you know, young people, when you do surveys, their number one thing is, I want to be famous. So, I mean, you were and are famous. What's that like, man?
Well, it has its ups and downs. So there's a lot of good, bad, and ugly that's tied to it all. Boy, it really checks your character, that's for sure. You find out what you're really made of, you know, when you first start to make some money or when you gain notoriety, mm-hmm, which I did. I went after everything our world calls success and got it. But, you know, I didn't have an anchor in my life when I started. So I made a lot of bad choices that led to a lot of severe consequences.
Mm-hmm. And so when you said without an anchor, you just kind of, what you felt, I mean, the passion, you just kind of pursued those passions.
Right, yeah. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, and that's wow. who I was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So within that, Sting, tell me, how did you become a follower of Christ? Because I don't know if you guys know this, this guy is a Christian. What led you to that point? Just talk to me a little bit about that situation.
Well, you know, again, I went after everything our world calls success. I remember actually living here in Arlington, Texas at the time, and I was just so close to making it in the wrestling business. And I remember I didn't know God, but I believed in him.
Yeah.
And I said a prayer one night at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, you know, I'm not a second generation wrestler. I don't have any uncles. I don't have any ties here, but I feel like I'm so close to making it. Could you just help me? And I made my deal with God. I said, if you help me to make it, I'm going to give back. You know, yeah. I'll visit people in the hospital. I'll do this. I'll yeah. do that. So I made my deal with God, and be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it.
That's right.
And before I knew it, I was having main event matches against Ric Flair, you know, world title matches, and I was making money, and all of a sudden I had power. So I found myself in August of 1998, 20 years ago, last month, I found myself with all kinds of power. I had reached the very top of the wrestling industry, the most popular wrestler in the whole wide world. I made so much money. I had so much recognition and power in the industry. But everything was slipping through my fingers, and I could not gain control of it. I was addicted to painkillers and muscle relaxers. I was drinking alcohol. I had lied to my now ex-wife for years about what I was doing on the road as far as adultery and women. So I had lots of skeletons in the closet, and I found myself with, you know, no ability to fix it all. Mm-hmm. And so no more lip service with God. You know, I had given him lip service before. Wave your magic wand and make everything okay. I said this sinner's prayer, now fix everything. And God just, it did not work. And so, you know, my moment of truth, I was asked one more time by my ex-wife, and something came over me. It's like the movie with Jim Carrey, Liar, Liar. He could not lie, and I could not lie. God says, wow. Smoldering flax I will not quench, and there must have been just a little ember left, because he blew it and fanned it into something, and I couldn't lie. I told her the truth, and I confessed everything. James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another, here's the key, so that you may be healed.
That's right.
And the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so, anyway, I said, no more lip service. I need something supernatural, because there's no amount of money, no drug, no woman, no man, no doctor, no nothing that's going to be able to get me out of this deep, dark despair, and I'm not waking up from a bad nightmare or something. So, God, from this day forward, I will live my life for you. You must come and fix me. Come and live inside of me. No more lip service. Show me how to live, how to be a Christian, mm-hmm. how to be a man, how to get off these drugs, how to stop doing all the stuff yes. I'm doing. And I didn't go to a 12-step program. One step, Jesus Christ, and he saved my life, and he, wow. he fixed me.
You know, Sting, I know I'm the same way. I'm so glad that God is in the rescue business, because none of us deserve it, yet there's that moment. And it's, what's so interesting is you're a powerful guy, super strong, yet at your moment of weakness, when you say, okay, God, I surrender all, that's when you're the strongest, because the Spirit of God comes in your life.
Yeah, it was the biggest match I ever had. God pinned me to the mat, and I thank God for that.
Whoa. I tell you what, is this guy amazing?
Sting, God's, you know, Sting, you might think Sting is amazing. Sting is cool, but Jesus rules.
That's right. Let's give another standing ovation for the man, the legend, the WWE Hall of Famer, Sting! Woo!
Thank you.
Awesome. I love wrestling. I really, really do. I grew up watching wrestling. I've always been a big fan of wrestling. How many fans do we have here? I'm talking about, you're a real wrestling fan. How many fans do we have here at all of our campuses? Okay, I love wrestling. And the thing that's cool about wrestling is like ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's been around for a long, long time. And I've seen different types of wrestling matches. I've seen a TV time limit wrestling match. I've seen a steel cage match. I've seen barbed wire matches. I've seen tag team matches. I've seen the last man standing matches. And the venues are so creative. I mean, it's like people wrestle everywhere. Well, today I'm going to begin a series of talks on a guy who was a true wrestler. His name, Jacob. Now, Jacob changed his name. A lot of great wrestlers have these name changes. They kind of morph into different characters, different figures. Jacob's name, you won't believe this, it means liar. I mean, that's kind of odd. Why would God pick someone whose name means liar? Manipulator. Why would God pick someone like that? Supplanter. Why would God pick someone like that? Well, why did God pick me? Why did God pick you? Isn't that interesting? His name was changed, though, to Israel later on. Israel, God's chosen people. Jacob, this guy who was a little shady, became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. His twin brother, Esau, he didn't really turn out like Jacob. Esau became the father of the Edomites. The Edomites were against God. So these twin towers back in the book of Genesis were born, and they had an unusual relationship. So when I unpack this story, when I go through this first match, the war in the womb, you're going to think it means one thing, but it really means something a lot deeper. So let's talk about the birth of these twins, Esau and Jacob, Jacob and Esau. Look at verse 24, Genesis chapter 25. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was, say it with me, red. Now that's interesting. And this is kind of gross. His whole body was like a hairy garment. I mean, he needed a back wax after about 2 days. And they named him Esau. And the word in the name Esau means red. And then verse 26, after this, his brother came out, Jacob. Now, the younger was supposed to serve the older. But here, God flipped it. The older Esau is going to serve the younger Jacob. So after this, his brother came out, verse 26, with his hand grasping, I'm talking about a toehold. Isn't that amazing? He tried to take him to the mat. I'm talking about the first WrestleMania. Wanted him down for the three count. I love that. So Jacob, his hand grasping Esau's heel. So his name was Jacob. Notice this. Esau came out first. He came out fighting. And he came out failing because he came out in second place. Even though he was first, he's going to serve Jacob. Jacob came out second. He came out scrapping, and he came out scheming. Jacob and Esau wrestled. They wrestled in the womb, and they wrestled over a bunch of red beans. Here's the story. Esau had been out hunting. He'd bageled, gotten skunked, hadn't seen a white tail at all. Came into the kitchen, and Jacob was like saying, "Hey, are you smelling what I'm cooking?" If you got that, raise your hand. Oh, you're a wrestling fan. If you didn't, just try to Google it. That's The Rock. I just quoted The Rock. Okay. Yeah, anyway, that's all I've got. That's all I've got. So Esau, this guy who, again, was serving Jacob. He was born first, but he ended up in second place. He despised the things of God. He comes in to the kitchen, sees the beans, and he's like, you talk about exaggeration. Oh, I'm going to die. You can read it. I'm going to die if I don't have some of your beans. So Jacob, man, this guy's sly. You're talking about a manipulator. Again, see, remember, Esau was born first. He had the blessing, the birthright, the Merrill Lynch trust funds. And if Jacob would have just gone, "Hey, my brother, I'm going to let God do what he wants to do. If he'd have just let the game come to him, it would have worked out better. But Jacob was like, no, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to rig this match. I am going to manipulate you, and I'm going to get the birthright from you, Esau. Hey, Esau, I'll give you some beans if you'll give me your birthright. Now, think about this. Esau is going to trade a blessing, leadership, billions for a bowl of red beans. It's insane. I mean, he's going to eat the beans and all he's going to leave with is a bunch of gas. And he's going to do that? I mean, really, is he going to do? You mean, Esau, you're going to sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporal? Are you serious? What? But you know, we're only as strong as our weakest moment.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting the Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
See, God does not test us with these big honking exams. The tests are those pop quizzes, those little character issues. Are you stretching the truth? Are you being fully honest? Are you seeking forgiveness? Are you reporting all the income? Are you really bringing 10% to God's house? Or a little pop test, a little pop quiz. And Esau was like, man, those beans are so good. I don't care about the birthright. And the Bible says that he lost the battle with beans. One, two, three. Over. Jacob had the birthright. The spirit always wins over the flesh. Okay, don't get hung up in, oh my goodness, Jacob was a liar. He was a manipulator. He was a supplanter. Yes. But his main motivation was to do what? To get the blessing of God. To lead the family. To be the father of those 12 tribes. And again, I don't know all of the what's and the whys in the hows regarding why God did this, but let's now go to the third match, the brawl over blessings. What are blessings? Blessings, people think, oh, I'm blessed. To be blessed is to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. God blesses those who are obedient. So look at verse 33. But Jacob said, swear to me about the beans, you know, and about the birthright, about this trade. So he swore an oath, selling his birthright to Jacob. And then I want you to notice this last part of verse 34 before we spur the horse to the barn. This is huge. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and got up and left. So Esau, say it with me, despised, say it with me again, despised his birthright. This means literally his back was against the house of God. He despised, flipped God off, as I talked about a couple of weeks ago. I'm doing what I'm going to do. Forget you, God. That's what he did. And he was only left with an empty bowl of beans. How many people in here have traded a bowl of beans for something, and all you have left is that empty bowl? You thought fame would do it. You've got an empty bowl of beans. You thought the next sexual conquest would do it. You've got an empty bowl of beans. You thought the next $100,000 or maybe $1 million would do it. You've got an empty bowl of beans. What have you traded? It's not worth it. Don't sacrifice God's purpose and your eternity and the life that God has for you in the spirit for a bowl of beans. How do you overcome what we're talking about, this classic battle, flesh versus spirit? Number one, nutrition. This is how I have victory over the flesh. I'm talking to Christians. We all deal with this. Nutrition. What do you mean nutrition, Ed? Well, Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, nutrition, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's nutrition. Are you feeding on the fruit of the Spirit? Also notice too, intuition. We have these monitors down here. I have someone right here giving me time. I have another monitor right here, another monitor right here. Sometimes I look at the monitors, a lot of times I don't. But they don't tell me the whole message. They might give me one word or what's coming up next on these giant screens behind me. It's lonely up here. Did you hear me? It's lonely up here. One of the biggest fears people have is a fear of public speaking. It's not always something I want to do. I don't want to go, hey, let me speak publicly. It's something I'm called to do. I'm alone up here, but I'm not really alone because I've got these monitors. You're not alone. You have a monitor. Who's the monitor? Who's the prompter? It's the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I know if the Holy Spirit's talking to me? It's very easy. It's always going to be in line. It's always going to be synced up with Scripture. You know, you might say it's just intuition. Oh yeah, it's spiritual intuition. Don't pursue that. Don't log on to that search engine. Don't keep going in that conversation. Turn from that friendship that's toxic and go the other way. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So we see nutrition and intuition, then also submission. Submission. Wrestling is about 1, 2, 3. Bing, 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 bing. You're pinned. In this context, we all need to be pinned.
Thank you for being with us today on the Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We hope this message has empowered you to stand firm in your faith and to shepherd your family with wisdom and courage. Your role is pivotal in nurturing a God-honoring environment, and it's our prayer that you would feel supported and equipped in this journey. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastor Ed continues the series Wrestling with a message called The Ladder Match. We'll explore how we can live a life filled with purpose and hope because of God and His goodness. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be part of what God is doing through the Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.